You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live on commercial radio stations from coast to coast, on Sirius XM all across North America, on Pacifica stations all across the United States, Europe, and Africa, on American Forces Radio and every U.S. military base in the world, and simulcast as TV on the Free Speech TV network, on both Dish Network, DirecTV, and several hundred cable systems nationwide. More people watching or listening to this program on more stations and outlets than any other progressive talk show in the world. Welcome. Glad to have you with us. And President Obama just said it. Just did it. He just did it. You know, if he hadn't come out and said that he supports gay marriage, which he just did, then my plan for this hour was, and literally I just got this like 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago. My plan for this hour was going to be to ask you to, well, first of all, to share with you why it would be a bad idea for him to do this and why it would be a good idea for him to do this. And I still intend to share these two pieces with you. And then, you know, get your thoughts on it. And in fact, I'm still inclined to do that. I think that this is, in fact, let's do that. Okay, so here's what happened. First of all, here's what President Obama said. He said, I have to tell you, this is in an interview with ABC News and with Robin Roberts of ABC News. And he said, I have to tell you, over the course of several years, as I've talked to friends and family and neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex relationships, who are raising kids together, when I think about those soldiers or airmen or Marines or sailors who are out there fighting on my behalf and yet feel constrained, even now that don't ask, don't tell is gone because they're not able to commit themselves in a marriage, at a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it's important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married. That's what the president just said. You will see it on TV tonight. It'll be on ABC News. I believe it's scheduled for tonight, broadcast tonight. And, you know, of course, the right is going to make the most of it. The left, here's, I thought, very insightful piece Kyle Lighten put together for Talking Points Memo, Josh Marshall's publication, and about why the president shouldn't do this. Now, the reasons why he should, I think, are pretty straightforward. Number one, it's the politically, you can make a very, very strong argument that it's the right thing to do, because if you believe it's the right thing, you should say so. Right? It's the old Harry Truman thing. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. If people don't want a Democrat in Republicans' clothing or vice versa, they want the real thing. They want to know what you believe. They want to know where you stand. They want to hear the truth. And if your vice president's saying it, and two of your cabinet officers have said it, and frankly, Obama has said it in the past. In 1996, when he was running for Illinois State Senate, quote, I favor legalizing same-sex marriages and would fight efforts to prohibit such marriages. It was in a written response to Chicago's Outlines gay newspaper. In February 2004, when he was an Illinois state senator, he in an interview with Chicago gay newspaper, the Windy City Times, he says, I'm a fierce supporter of domestic partnership and civil union laws. Not quite there. In 2006, while a U.S. senator writing in his memoir, The Audacity of Hope, this was published in 2006, he says, I am reminded that it is my obligation not only as an elected official in a pluralistic society, but also as a Christian, to remain open to the possibility that my unwillingness to support gay marriage is misguided. In 2007, in August 9th of 2007, while running for president, he said, the government has to treat all citizens equally. I'm a strong supporter, not of a weak version of civil unions, but of a strong version in which the rights that are... So, you know, he's been dancing awful close to this for a long time. So the reasons why are, one, It's the right thing to do. You speak your truth and you stand by it, even if others are opposed to it. And frankly, I think most Americans would rather have a politician where they know where he stands, and that's particularly a big deal in this election because Mitt Romney's been all over the map on every single issue out there. I mean, you look up flip-flop in the dictionary, there's a picture of Mitt Romney. So it's particularly important in this election to say what you mean and to mean what you say. But in addition to that, there is a lot of support for this position and for a courageous politician who's willing to speak out on this position, coming not just from the gay community, although that's nothing to sneeze at, but also from the community of all the rest of us who are breeders but have gay people in our families and have come to the realization. And, I used to DJ the drag show at Joe Covello's gay bar in Lansing, Michigan when I was 17 years old. I mean, I've never had a problem with gay people and saying, being an absolute advocate of gay rights. But for many people, what has happened over the last 20, 30 years as more and more people have come out, more and more gay people have come out, is that, you know, Joe Sixpack is discovering that he's got two or three gay nieces, nephews, sisters, brothers, sons, daughters, father, whatever. And they don't have fangs and they don't have, you know, have horns. And they're just normal people. So I think that there's a lot of support for the president in that area. Now, here's where it's dangerous for the president. 32 states now have voted on gay marriage. And with the single exception of Arizona in 2006, in every single case, the people of these states have voted against it. And Arizona reversed itself 2 years later. And it gets particularly scary when you look at these swing states. The most essential swing states, according to this piece from Talking Points Memo, Ohio, Virginia, Colorado, Florida, have all banned gay marriage. And North Carolina, which the president is hoping to pick up in this election, one of the reasons why the Democrats are gratuitously citing their putting their national convention in a non-union state, which now has become an explicitly anti-gay state as well, was in the hopes that President Obama could pick up the state. But here's the deal. 47% of Americans support gay marriage or the absolute, you know, the whole spectrum of rights being granted to people regardless of the sexual orientation. Two-thirds of Democrats. But among independents, it's only 46%. So basically, the Democrats are asking the president to say something that, to endorse something that they, you know, he's already by and large with them. He ended Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He's no longer enforcing. In fact, he's challenging the Defense of Marriage Act. But the other problem is that the president has no power on this issue beyond what he's already used with regard to the military. Rolling back DOMA is going to require an act of Congress. Now, the flip side of that is that he does have the power of the bully pulpit. So does he not have power? Does he have power? I would say both. So here's how we're going to play it. How long to the break, Jacob? Oh, it's right now. Real quickly, after the break, in 4 minutes from now, I'm just going to take calls unscreened. You'll have 10 or 15 seconds to speak, and I would like to hear your thoughts on is this going to help the president or hurt the president, and why? And we'll just do a little quick national survey / town hall meeting. So you won't hear the phone answered. Just ring and ring and ring, and then I'll put you on the air.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And the number, of course, is 866-987-THOM. So just call, wait a couple of minutes, you know, just before the break ends or as we come back, and then just start calling. Right. 20 minutes past the hour. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, occupying the media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, right here from Washington, D.C. And what we're going to do now is just take your calls. You'll have 10 seconds to make a comment, then I'm going to cut you off. And I'm going to call, I will call out your area code. We've got caller ID here, so I'll just call out your area code. I'll say 773, you're on the air, and you got your 10 seconds, then I'll go to the next one. And it's we're just curious, your take on what the president just had to say. He has come out in support of gay marriage. Is this going to hurt him? Is it going to help him? Is it a good thing, a bad thing? I think it's a good thing, obviously. I'm guessing most of you do. Are the Republicans going to use this again? Whatever your thoughts are. Area, for example, area code 773, your thoughts on this.
Yes, I don't know if it's going to hurt him or help him, but I think he's doing it for political expediency. And I agree with the people that say that same-sex marriage is not the way to go.
Okay, thank you very much. For area code 413, your 10 seconds. Area code 413? Okay, area code 612.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey.
It's an honor to be on the radio with you. I think it will help him, and because it's the moral and ethical thing to do, and it further solidifies what a good man President Obama really is. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you. Area code 917. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I think it's the right thing to do, but I think it's going to hurt him. The score is 32-0, and it's that way for a reason. We have a lot of religious people in this country, and they believe that their belief in their religion gives them a license to be ignorant.
Yeah. Well, this is the point that they had made over at TPM for some time, and there's probably some legitimacy to it. 612, area code 612. You're 10 seconds.
This is 303, Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry. The caller ID says 612. Go for it anyway.
And you nailed it as usual. I mean, it's the right thing to do. It should be the constitutional thing to do under the 14th Amendment, but it's going to hurt him in those swing states. North Carolina voted 61% against this, basically on religious reasons. It's going to hurt him.
Okay. Area code 860.
Hi, Tom. I think it's the right thing to do, but unfortunately, I think it may hurt him. I have a sister-in-law who's gay, and I've changed my opinion on gay marriage, but I think we should all just let people marry who they love.
There you go. You're that middle that is waking up because of family members. Area code 918. You're on the air. You're 10 seconds.
Yeah, I think it's the right thing to do. I don't think it'll hurt him because I think it'll show the American people we finally have a president that shows that he's for rights for everybody in this country, not just one side.
I'm with you. Area code 304, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, I want to say thank you for letting me on, and I believe that this will help him because it is the right thing to do. That other caller was correct about that the religious people believe that they have a right to discriminate.
Yeah, no, and in fact, religion was used to justify racial discrimination for centuries in this country. Area code 319, you're on the air.
I don't think the Republicans care whether a person is gay or straight. I think they're merely playing lynch mob politics in an attempt to turn people against Obama for supporting something that supposedly a lot of people don't support.
Yeah, I think you're right. Area code 225, you're on the air.
Oh, we're definitely moving forward, Tom. We're moving forward now.
Okay.
I've been waiting for this day for a long time. I'm glad my president believes in everybody.
Okay. Thank you very much. Area code 760. You're on the air.
Hey, I believe that this will hurt Obama. I think that the gay movement is good and everything, and I agree with what they want. But I think that if he takes a stand like that, not only the swing states, but I think he's already made a lot of advancements, and I don't think it's worth the election.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much. Area code 619. You're on the air.
Yes, I am gay, and I live in California, and I believe we are looking at a President Romney. He should have just waited a year.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. Area code 440. You're on the air.
Yes, I think that even if it ends up hurting Obama in the election, he's done the right thing. I'm more proud to vote for him today than I was yesterday, and I think it will help his position in history as a statesman, even if he loses the election.
Agreed on all points. Area code 206, you're on the air.
Hi. I know that it'll hurt him in those states, but I think it's going to bridge an enthusiasm gap that his supporters from 2008 might...
Oh, that's an excellent point. It's going to fire up his base. Excellent point. Thank you for that. Area code 575, you're on the air. Area code 5.
Between a man and a woman, it's going to hurt him.
You think it's going to hurt him? Okay. Thank you very much. Area code 812, you're on the air. No. Area code 208, you're on the air.
Yes, it's going to help him with the independents and the liberals. Mm-hmm. The conservatives weren't going to vote for him anyway, so it's going to strengthen him with the liberals and the moderates.
Interesting. Well, it's going to be a really interesting one to see, isn't it? 21 area code 215.
Hi. Obama is for the people, and that it shouldn't matter straight, gay. If anyone that wants to have the right to marry, they should be given that right.
Okay, thank you very much. Area code 570, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, I think it's going to help Obama because I think he just won back a whole bunch of young people that were disillusioned with him. This is going to bring back a lot of his young base, I think.
So. I think you may well be right. Area code 231, you're on the air.
I think that it's going to really fire up the base. Mm-hmm. I think that finally he's standing up for something and we can believe in him again.
Okay, thank you very much. Area code 773, your thoughts on this?
I agree with Ed Rendell. I think he had it spot on, and one of your previous callers said it, that the people that were going to vote for him were going to vote for him, and the others, they weren't going to vote for him anyway. So I don't think it changed a thing.
There you go. Last one, area code 248. Your thoughts on this?
I'm very concerned that this is going to make him more vulnerable, and all the down-ticket candidates running on their local and state elections are going to be asked the same question, and they're going to pay a price.
Very interesting. Well, that's an interesting dimension of it that nobody has raised, which is this is going to become the new are you a Democrat political litmus test. Now that the President of the United States, the head of the Democratic Party, the largest Democrat in the country, has officially taken this position. So what impact is it going to have on the party as well? Well, consider that right after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
We will have audio and video of President Obama making this comment to the ABC reporter Robin Wright right after this break. And your thoughts as well. Welcome back to the place where smart people get their news, the Tom Hartman Program. And the president just came out. This is an historic moment. In fact, we were debating whether to play this entire clip or break it up. And Louise strongly argued this is such a historic moment, to use the American use of English, moment that we should play it as it is. So here is President Obama speaking with Robin Wright of ABC News. It will play tonight on the ABC Evening News. Here's what he had to say.
I have to tell you, as I said, I've been going through an evolution on this issue. I've always been adamant that gay and lesbian Americans should be treated fairly and equally. And that's why, in addition to everything we've done in this administration, rolling back Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so that outstanding Americans can serve our country, whether it's no longer defending the Defense Against Marriage Act, which tried to federalize what has historically been state law. I've stood on the side of broader equality for the LGBT community. And I had hesitated on gay marriage in part because I thought civil unions would be sufficient, that was something that would give people hospital visitation rights and other elements that we take for granted. And I was sensitive to the fact that for a lot of people, the word marriage was something that evokes very powerful traditions, religious beliefs, and so forth. But I have to tell you that over the course of several years, as I talk to friends and family and neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are in incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex relationships, who are raising kids together. When I think about those soldiers or airmen or Marines or sailors who are out there fighting on my behalf and yet feel constrained, even now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is gone, because they're not able to commit themselves in a marriage. At a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
Gustav Mahler in the chat room says, May 9th, 2012, a day that will live in infamy. First, and by the way, thank you to Jason in our chat room for correcting me. He said, stop talking about gay marriage and start talking about marriage equality. You're right. This is marriage equality. This is not about gay marriage. This is about marriage equality. Just like civil rights wasn't about rights just for black people or for any ethnic group or minority. It was for all people. So this is about marriage equality. And this debate about marriage equality, I have to tell you, there were, when we were doing our quick little survey here, and I'm going to get back to your calls in just a second, but I just wanted to share a thought with you on this. I only remember one other time. You know, I've been on this planet for pushing six decades, and in that period of time, there's only one other time that I saw young people really, really get excited about a presidential candidate. And that was in 68 when Bobby Kennedy was taking on Lyndon Johnson's vice president, Hubert Humphrey, as the presumptive nominee for the party in 68. And, you know, tragically, Kennedy was assassinated. But there was this incredible passion associated with, on the part of young people, in particular across the nation, in favor of Bobby Kennedy. And the reason why, and I speak from, you know, I mean, I was there. The reason why wasn't just, you know, his brother was killed or he was a good this or that. A large chunk of the reason why was because he was the guy who had the cojones. He was the guy who had the guts to say to George Wallace down at the University of Alabama. He was the, you know, the attorney general. He was the guy who had the guts to say, you are going to integrate this school. We are sending down federal marshals. We are going to kick your ass, George Wallace. And Lester Maddox and fill in the blanks and all those, you know, Bobby Kennedy was one of the great and passionate advocates for civil rights in the United States. And it caused young people to stand up and say, yes, count me in. I think Obama just got his base back. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. And but that's my take on it. Sam, and is it Raleigh, Missouri?
Rolla.
Rolla. How you doing, Sam? What's up?
Yeah, I think his base, absolutely, because he's worried about these voter ID laws, and he should be. He needs his base to get out there and get people IDs, because he could really lose. There's like 30 states with these voter ID laws.
Yeah, and they've disenfranchised or knocked 5 million people off the polls so far, and you're absolutely right. And in Florida, I mean, all George Bush had to do, or Catherine Harris, Jeb Bush, all Jeb Bush had to do to make sure his brother could win was knock 55,000 to 70,000 African-Americans off the voting rolls. Joshua in Hillsboro, Oregon. Hey, Joshua, thanks for listening to KPOJ. What are your thoughts on this?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Oh, man, I am so happy that Barack Obama has finally taken a stance on the Marriage Equality Act, because that would mean that if it passes, I would be able to marry my boyfriend.
Good on you. Okay, Joshua, thank you very much for the thoughts and insights on that. Tracy in Everett, Washington. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, what's happening? Hey, I just wanted to say that, you know, I think that this is great that he's standing up for, you know, ideals that are for equality. But this is, I think it's going to cost him religious, more of the religious.
I wonder if it might work voter. The other way around. I wonder if you might start seeing over the next year or two or three, now maybe not in time for the election, but you might start seeing more and more churches joining with that part of the Lutheran Church, joining with that part of the I believe it's the Church of Christ. I forget which denomination is which, but there's a, you know, one of the progressive denominations that's been way out in front of this for a long time and welcoming gay couples into the church. So, I, you know, we'll see. Carol in Charlottesville, Virginia. Carol, your thoughts.
Hi, Tom. I'm glad that Obama came out for this. However, I've been single most of my life, and I really would like to see us not give so many tax deductions to married people. Because we single people, and there are more and more, young people are not getting married. And yet we raise children. We don't get the tax breaks that the married people do.
Well, sure you do. If you're, no. If you're raising a child, you get a child tax deduction, whether you're married or not.
Well, I get a child tax deduction. But, you know, when I sold my house, I didn't get double, you know, as I was retiring. Like my sister, you know, she and her husband got double deduction because there were two of them. And there are a lot of benefits that go to married people.
But you're right. There are a lot of benefits that go to married people, and that's a debate about the tax code that we can have another day. I don't disagree with you entirely, but that's not about marriage equality, I don't think. Gib in San Antonio, Texas, your thoughts.
Hey, Tom. You know, I've heard you say more than once that politicians are prone to jump, you know, in front of the parade once the parade gets big enough, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think because of Obama's delay of coming out for this, I think his, politically speaking, I think his timing is brilliant, man. He's jumping into the middle of the parade, mm-hmm. knowing that he's going to be leading it by the time it's over. That's
yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. And I hope you're right. Chris in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Tom. Not a big fan of hypocrisy in general, although we all tend to be that way. Can I ask you, if you would say disproportionately, would you find that liberals, Democrats, the left, the right, whatever you want to call it, would you find that as an independent, I guess I'd like to think of myself as a little of each, like we mostly are as humans, but it is really difficult to keep focused as you get 10 seconds to talk to you, for example, make an opinion, and we just go on from topic to topic to topic in this society, and you talk about Germany and France, and yep. I have relatives.
If I could focus you for a moment, what's your point?
This is the problem. I don't think Americans, myself included, can focus any longer, and I think it's just time to just, I guess, what's your point in the show and going from topic? I mean, there's a lot of...
Yeah, okay. I'm not going from topic to topic. I'm talking right now about marriage equality. Thank you very much. I just hung up on somebody. I'm sorry. Wendy in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Wendy.
Hi there. You know what? I actually thank the ultra-conservatives for being so loud against gays because it brings marriage equality to the forefront, and I think people are beginning to realize what a non-issue it is and just how silly it is to discriminate against gays and lesbians.
Yeah, I think, just like I said, I think that this is that one of those Bobby Kennedy moments when a politician stands up and says, no, we're going to stand with all people. We're going to stand for equality, not lunch counter equality this time, but marriage equality, and this is going to work well for him, I believe. Joe in Beckley, West Virginia. Joe, your thoughts.
Hey, Tom. I believe that our main issue for society is religion has been used to control people. And also, the people that wrote off the Christian Bible, what they did was they stated that when people would rise up against the Bible, that would be the end of the world, which is saying that people are being manipulated so that way they will not lose power.
Okay, so we'll see how that plays out. Rachel in Florence, Mass. Listen to WHMP. Got about 20, 30 seconds here. Rachel, a quick one.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to say I think it's a great thing what President Obama did today, and I think that we need to support him now more than ever. And if this issue touches you or anybody you know, you need to get out there and vote and support him now.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to be the consequence of it. And I think that more and more Americans, particularly as more and more gays are coming out and being seen as members of the community and members of families, and that more and more Americans are just going to say, yeah, of course. And now the president says it. Come on, of course. And you're going to have, you've still got churches that are opposed to women being allowed to vote. So, the right you will have with you always.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
To badly paraphrase Jesus, more of your thoughts on marriage equality and the President of the United States right after this. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And Larry in Chicago, listening to WCPT. Hey, Larry, what's up?
Hey, I think that it was a brilliant move from a strategic standpoint for Obama, mm-hmm. because he is basically taking control of this whole debate on gay rights. And it's just the beginning because of all the other issues. You know, Romney hates to take a stand.
Yeah.
And he's going to be forced to say some stuff that he probably doesn't want to say because he's going to offend a lot of his gay supporters. And I think we're going to see similar strategy in some of the other issues as we go along.
Yeah, I think the Republican Party is very quickly going to become marginalized as the party of the bigots and the party of the 1%. And,
absolutely, and Obama is pushing them right into it.
Yeah.
And they're going to...
Yeah, and there was...
They're in the fight now, so they can't get out.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And also by doing it the day after the North Carolina election. If you had done it before, everybody would have said, oh, look at that. North Carolina just voted 60 to 40 against Obama. But doing it the day after, that election is not seen as a referendum on Obama. It's just seen as a North Carolina event. His timing was absolutely perfect, I think. Matt in San Diego. Hey, Matt, your thoughts.
I'm kind of irate that with yourself and your listeners, because you live in this insulated bubble of liberalism where you think that everything is all going to be, right. Listen, I am gay, and I've grown up in an African-American community, and this is going to drive African-American men to vote for Mitt Romney. In 2010, when I worked on the campaign to get Barbara Boxer and Jerry Brown reelected, there was also the Prop 8, and the African-American community that I was working within and alongside were talking about how they were going to support Prop 8B to, bring down gay marriage in the state of California. So this is two worlds that have not...
The polls only show that African Americans are about 6% more likely to oppose gay marriage than whites, and far less likely to oppose it than conservatives.
Tom, the 6% is enough. All they needed was 3%.
I'm not sure. Here's the other way it might play. President Obama is not only president of the United States and a Democrat, he's also an African American. And this is a community the message that they may get out of this is that this is a role model. This guy is saying something that we should be paying attention to, that we should be rethinking our position on.
Okay. Now, I can tell you from living in a low income neighborhood of very mixed races, and in particular my entire life I've not had any money, that you don't understand that.
I may well not, but what I would submit to you is that your experience all happened before a black president of the United States said he supports gay marriage equality.
Yes, and it wasn't the African American community necessarily that voted him in. So overwhelming.
No, not necessarily. The African American community in the United States is only what, 14-16% of the U.S. population. It's not large enough, I don't think, to absolutely determine the outcome of an election. There are a lot of other factors at play here. But there's far more people who openly, 32% of Americans openly call themselves conservatives. I think that this is going to change the African American community more than the African American community is going to change the president. Now, you may be right, Matt. I may be wrong. Time will tell. Susan in Worcester, Mass. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I think that, like everything else in politics, this is all about messaging and spin. And I'm hoping from what we've seen so far that Democrats have finally gotten control of controlling messages and spin, as well as the Republicans have been able to do for the last 20 years or so. In particular, two things that they need to frame, and those of you who support gay marriage and who want to get to President's session, of course, I hope you guys will frame it this way, too. First of all, as you said earlier, Tom, this is an issue of equality. This isn't an issue of gay marriage.
Right.
If we can point back to when marriage between races was illegal and talk about that in terms of equality, then we can get that African American community, the Latino community, and many of the minority communities that might have a religious objection to come on board with the equality argument.
Well, the Latino community actually is, as a whole, more likely to say gay marriage is okay than is the white community right now. It's just that if you compare the Latino community to the Democrats, white Democrats, then there's a big difference. But
I wasn't aware of that. Thank you.
I guess having had an upbringing
in Florida, I'm thinking of the more religious conservatives.
Yeah, you're thinking of the Cubans who are
exactly. Yeah. So I hadn't thought that way. The other thing in terms of framing, though, is to deal with this as the entire statement. Yes, Obama did come out in terms of gay marriage in favor of it, and I'm very happy to see that. But he was very quick to say, but I won't legislate on this. I'm not going to sign an executive order. This is a state choice. This is my personal feeling.
Yes.
And what we need to do is go out and calm fears that he might try to force through gay marriage and say this is a personal feeling and make sure that the community
is aware. I agree with you, Susan. It's all going to depend on how it's spun, and particularly over the next few days. But as we go up to the election, and we'll see how that plays out. Brant in Kirkland, Washington. Hey, Brant, what's up?
All right. How are you doing, Tom?
Great.
I keep thinking of this quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it, of Bill Clinton's, where basically he said that if you work hard and play by the rules, you get to sit at the big kids' table.
Right.
And I think we need to teach or treat people a little more like adults. It seems that a lot of this marriage stuff was born out of religion and has ingrained itself in our tax code and other laws and
right and inappropriately so. You know who it was who said in order to shoot straight you don't have to be straight?
Barry Goldwater.
Exactly. Barry Goldwater, the Republican candidate in 64. In order to shoot, wasn't part of why, he didn't say this until after he had lost the presidential race, but he was still a United States Senator and one of the grand old men of the grand old party.
On a side note, Barry Goldwater's wife was one of the co-founders of Planned Parenthood.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But it doesn't surprise me. I mean, and Barry Goldwater was considered a radical right-wing Republican in his day. And that tells you how crazy the Republican Party has gone, because Barry Goldwater today would be a Democrat. In some regards. I mean, let's not, totally. But anyhow, I believe this is an historic day. I keep wanting to do British English. I think this is a historic day. And I want to continue with our thoughts about that right after this.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you, and the President of the United States has come out in support of marriage equality. It will be on the ABC Evening News tonight. It was in an interview with Robin Wright, a reporter with ABC News, and he spoke very eloquently about it. I wanted to get the opinion of somebody whose political insights, as well as insights into this issue, this is a big issue for you, I have tremendous respect for. I've known for years and years. Ellen Ratner. Ellen, you are the longest serving out gay reporter or lesbian reporter at the White House
since 1993.
Okay. And you and Charlene, in fact, have written a book. What was it?
Well, she wrote a book called The Eye of the Storm.
Right. And she talks about her relationship with you and about you guys going
down.
That's
right. Governor Barber did a little reception for us at the Mississippi Governor's Mansion. I mean,
the Republican governor.
That's right.
Haley Barber. Yeah. So, all the players, everybody over at the White House, all of these people, you've been inside the White House.
And in fact, we were speculating today, because there's no briefing.
Right.
That the reason Carney didn't brief today is because he did not want to deal with this issue. He wanted the president's comments to stay as they are, and right. He didn't want to be the heat taker.
Right. So let me just share with you some quick thoughts that we've been bouncing around on this show and get your take on them. Number one, that this is going to help him tremendously. It's almost like the way aggressively Bobby Kennedy enforced civil rights laws, and that caused young people to, even those who had never thought about civil rights before, white kids, suddenly they were with
and
him.
Republicans.
Yes. And number two, it'll gain him support because even though you didn't like George Bush, you knew where he stood. You have no idea where Mitt Romney stands. You know where the president stands.
That's right. And by the way, Mitt Romney and I had it out around Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Oh, really?
Yes. I was doing an interview at CPAC a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it was the first time he ran. Uh-huh. And he just said, well, I don't agree. Ooh, I have it on tape. I got to go find it.
Oh, yeah. That's gold. And then there, I've had a number of calls. In fact, I had one very persistent caller who said that I don't recall if he said he was African American or not, but he lives and works in the African American community in California and was working on Prop 8. And he said, this is going to hurt the president with African Americans. And my take is, he's an African American. Maybe he's going to change the dialogue in the African American community. A and B, it's not that big a difference. It's only about a 6-point difference between African Americans and whites in favor or opposed to marriage equality.
The other issue is fundraising. This is going to pour in money, not only from the gay community that has the capacity to pour in a lot of money. It's going to pour in money from people that are saying the guy never takes a stand on anything. He does what politically looks expedient. It makes him look like a rights person. And I don't really see that he has a lot to lose. Now, I was just on the phone with one of my Republican strategists who was a Bush in charge of Bush messaging on the Iraq war.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said to me that he believes that this is going to lose him Ohio, and it's going to lose him North Carolina, et cetera. Well, North Carolina is gone, I think. And I think they realized that yesterday. There's no way, I don't think, the president can win North Carolina. They thought he could, but I think Ohio is not gone. Mm. I think that there is Sherrod. You have Sherrod Brown there, and he's running against Cousin Josh.
Your cousin.
My cousin Josh Mandel.
Crazy right-wing cousin.
Right-wing cousin who's not good on gay issues.
Yeah.
I think that people in Ohio are not as right-wing as, you know, it's kind of like New Hampshire and what happened there with the vote. It was overwhelming, and Republicans voted to keep gay marriage. Why? It's sort of a live-free-or-die state. He's tapping into the libertarian Republicans who really don't care about this issue. And a lot of young Republicans, I just had a right-winger genius. He's one of those internet geniuses website. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I said, what? It was in my office 2 minutes before I came here. And I said, well, what would ever make you run? He said, well, I've got a gay brother. He said, but fiscally, I'm conservative. But I said, but look at these guys. And he says, well, that disgusts me about the party. So you have a whole wing of people that may not vote for Romney if Romney then comes out and says no gay marriage.
I think this puts the libertarian vote into play. And the libertarian vote is substantial in the United States. And it's historically been a large block of the Republican Party. And because neither party has taken an issue on legalizing or decriminalizing drugs, prostitution, or gay marriage, the issues with the libertarians kind of cross swords with the Republicans, shall we say. Now you've got a president who's come out and said, I'm in favor of marriage equality. That's one of the basic planks of many libertarians. And I think it's going to bring him out.
I think you're absolutely right. I think he is designing this to go with the libertarians who will Romney, if he comes out to kiss up to the social conservatives, the libertarians are going, wait a minute, I do have a gay brother. I do have a gay best friend. I had somebody from one of the most conservative groups in the world yesterday said he was best man at a gay wedding. And people just are tired of it.
Yeah.
And they're not going to go there. And so I think it was a very smart political move as well as a principled stance. And I think he's going to hit it out of the park because of this. The issue that I think is going to be fascinating is, what do we do about North Carolina? Because, you know, there are a lot of gay folk there. That's true. But there's also a lot of people that want to boycott the states that are so bad on this issue in terms of conventions and all that kind of thing. Well, already, as you know, the unions aren't too happy about North Carolina because everything there is non-union.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, now you have the gay issue. What happens to that convention?
Yeah. Well, I was over at RT this morning putting together the preliminary stuff on both the radio and TV show. And one of the producers there participates in all the gay message boards and everything. And he said there's this petition flying around, and it's got like 14,000 signatures. And it just started like at midnight last night to get the DNC to move the
convention.
They won't
move it. It's too difficult.
Yeah. It's.
But the question is what actually – I mean, you have the unions that are not happy about it. You have the gay folks that are not happy about the
DNC being in North Carolina,
right,
in Charlotte. Yeah.
I don't – I mean, this is going to be very – it's going to be very interesting. The protests are going to be very interesting because there will be protests. Will it be Democratic Convention 1968? No, not at all. But it's going to be – fascinating.
Yeah. Well, at that time, I mean, that was the Vietnam War was raging, and that was opposition to the war. Here you've got a president that has wound down one war, is aggressively in the process of winding down the second Bush war. So both Bush wars are going away, and everybody kind of gets it. That's been diffused. And now he's doing this like Bobby Kennedy did with civil rights, you know, taking a principled stand. And so what is the downside, in your opinion, Ellen?
Well, the downside is that he loses a couple of states.
States that he might have carried
the
otherwise?
Karl Rove group gets just the way they tried to 4 and 8 years ago use the gay marriage amendment issue as a way of getting out their voters, getting it on the ballot. Mm-hmm. And so the downside is that he really tries, he loses states. They've done that political calculation, though. That, trust me, I know how that Chicago operation works, and they've crunched those numbers in a way that you and I don't have the capacity. We don't have those high fancy computers. By the way, my cousin actually is one of their three top computer guys in Chicago.
Your cousin?
I have a different cousin.
Oh, not the cousin who's running against Sherrod Brown.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, very interesting.
We have a lot of cousins.
You do. You have a very big family. Ellen Ratner, just quick one. What impact is this going to have in the national dialogue about marriage equality in general?
I think it's going to have a huge impact, and I think people are going to really start to talk about it in the way they have. I've been married 7.5 years, Tom, and it's made a huge, I've had ups and downs like every other marriage, and it's had a huge impact. If it hadn't been for that marriage ring, I'm not sure at some points I would have stayed married, and it was the best decision I could have made, and I have a really great life and wife.
There you go. And may you and Sholene have many, many years, many, many decades of happiness. Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, and goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
That's right.
Okay, Ellen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great talking with you. We'll be back. Tom Hartman here with you. Stick around.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So what impact will this very active statement in favor of marriage equality have on the president? More on that right after this. A historic day. The president of the United States comes out in favor of marriage equality and just says it. Jacob, do you have parsed out just the last half of that clip that we could just play that and you can just hear him, basically making, the first part is about how he really has struggled with this over the years and his thoughts have been evolving and he thought he had it figured out. But here is the president basically just saying, this is it. This is the decision I've come to. Bang. Here you go.
But I have to tell you that over the course of several years, as I talk to friends and family and neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are in incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex relationships, who are raising kids together, when I think about those soldiers or airmen or Marines or sailors who are out there fighting on my behalf and yet feel constrained, even now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is gone, because they're not able to commit themselves in a marriage. At a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
And he didn't even, Frank Luntzify it by saying it's an issue of equality, we're talking about marriage equality. I mean, he just said it in plain, ordinary, everyday English. I'm impressed. Davis in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Davis, what's up?
Hey, I wanted to speak about the issue. I'm in North Carolina. We just voted on that. And it's so far more reaching. And I'm an African American. And, it would help with the LBJ alliance with the African Americans and churches because a lot that they have in common. But I don't know if you got his doubt as far as some of the inequalities, and that's something that needs to be said because there's a strong alliance that they could
between do. The gay community and the African-American community. Do you think that this is going to be, there's two schools of thought here that I've heard on this show. Several people have said this is going to cause African-American men who tend to, according to some surveys, be slightly more homophobic than white males to back away from the president, and I'm thinking that it's going to cause them to say, well, maybe I should reconsider this. If he's saying that, maybe there's something to it.
Well, I don't know if it's going to go that far. It's also, it's a lot to do with economical education and all that goes in one's decision.
Sure.
You know that from anything. Sure. But, for me being an African-American male, as I guess a stocking kid, as a Division I football player, I just don't see the relevance anymore. Like I said, there's some alliances there, and both sides need to reach out to each other and explain things are, what issues that we have are some of the same issues that they have, and explain the issues from both perspectives.
Yeah,
one is economical, other two is, you know, obviously discriminatory as far as rights. And if they did that alliance wouldn't be in question. It would be stronger. But no one's done that.
I think you're right, and I think that's coming. Thanks a lot, Davis, for the call. Great to hear from you. Cora in Taos, New Mexico. Hey, Cora, what's up?
Yes, well, I was going to say, for the people that can't focus because of all the issues, just remember that our president is capable of making tough decisions that might hurt him, you know, politically, and his opponent is a lying hologram.
Hologram. Romney is a hologram. Okay, that's a good one. Thank you. Gary in Bethesda, Maryland. Hey, Gary, what's up?
How you doing? It's good to be on the show with you, Tom. I just wanted to give the president a great deal of credit for coming out and taking this stand.
Mm-hmm.
It may work for him positively in terms of his political situation, or it very well may work against him. But I think the main thing is that he's demonstrated himself as someone of character that's willing to stand up for people and take a position, even if maybe 90% of the people aren't for it. He is willing to take a stand.
Yeah, and it's not 90% opposed to it. It's more like 47% opposed to it.
Right, but my point is it may not benefit him. You know, everyone's saying politically, what does this mean? Is it going to help him? Is it going to hurt him? But he's willing to take a stand on what he believes in, and I think that's something that differentiates himself from Romney, because he's demonstrated nothing. He won't even take a position on immigration, which is...
Yeah, Romney was asked, Romney's camp was asked yesterday, what's his position on immigration? They said he's still trying to come up with one. You're absolutely right. Gary, thank you very much. Well said. Luke in Joliet, Illinois. Hey, Luke, what's up?
Hello, Tom. Thank you for everything you do. I'd like to reiterate what your last caller just said. I think what Obama did definitely illustrates a lot of courage. And I think what he's done is he stood on moral ground. All the people in his camp probably tell him, you know, don't take a stand on this issue. And I think he's avoided this issue because he's been told it will hurt him politically. And I think it may hurt him politically in the short term. And it's not going to be the people in support of marriage equality really come out. I think it's going to be people look at it and just say, you know what, this was a courageous thing. This is someone standing on their moral ground. And all the people who voted for Bush last time said, you know, I really don't like him, all that, doesn't make good decisions. But, you know, he stands for what he believes in. And Obama is on firm moral ground here. He's doing this because it's right.
Yeah.
And I hope that this will steer, you know, the issues that into that. The realm of, look, you know, there's scientific evidence to support that this is the way you're born.
I think that this establishes him as a guy with a spine in the social realm after killing bin Laden established him as a guy with a spine in the military realm. And now he's nailing down these pillars of constituencies and you know, the perceived roles of a president. And Mitt Romney has none of them. He has no military experience, no foreign policy experience. He chose to live in a palace in France for 2 years and be a Mormon missionary instead of going to the Vietnam War. That was his choice.
You know, when John Kerry got accused of being a flip flopper, and I remember on the news seeing two people dressed in giant flip flops, I really thought that was a time where it took a turn for the worse for Kerry.
Yeah.
And when they look at Mitt Romney and they start lining up these flip flops left after right, I can't wait for someone to put a montage together.
Yep.
I think people will see the difference in character between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney.
I think you're absolutely right. Luke, thanks a lot for the call. And thanks for listening to WCPT. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
We'll be right back with more on the on this historic day. It's really genuinely a historic day. Stick around. Helping you with the water cooler wars. Tom Hartman here with you. Welcome back. And by the way, there's a lot of other stuff in the news, and a couple of points that I just want to make so that you are well informed about the day, and in particular one that will not be covered by the corporate media. Dick Lugar, or back, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, they used to refer to him as Lugar, but in any case, Dick Lugar lost the election last night. And the guy that he lost to is being described in the media as a Tea Party guy. But the actual there's an actual story behind this. And in fact, let me get the details here of this. This is really pretty remarkable. Richard Murdoch, who is the so-called Tea Partier, they shouldn't be calling him a Tea Partier. They should be calling him a Wall Street bank man. I mean, this is the time that it's time for candidates to start wearing the logos of the group. What Dick Lugar, the reason why he got taken down, his sin was not that he voted for Obama's judicial nominees. There were other Republicans who did that. It was not that he voted for the START Treaty. Other Republicans did that. These were not controversial things, by and large. His sin was that he voted to stop the rollback. In other words, now I'm involving double negatives. Let me make this very simple. There was a ceiling, a legislative ceiling, on the amount of money that banksters could charge stores when stores take credit cards, right? So if I'm Macy's or Amazon.com or whatever, and you come to me and you buy something and you with a credit card, the credit card company can charge me up to 3.5% or whatever it is. They can charge me up to a certain amount, but they can't charge more than that. And the banks wanted to get rid of that limit. And legislation was put forward by the banks' toadies in the Republican Party to do just that. And it failed. And it failed in part because Dick Lugar opposed it. So the banks didn't get their way. And this cost the banks, and let me get the exact amount of money here so I don't get this wrong. This cost the banks $16 billion. It's not so much that it cost them because the revenue didn't go down. It was they were planning on charging every retailer in America, from the little bead shop on the corner that's owned by the family to Macy's and Amazon.com. They were planning on charging all of them in aggregate $16 billion more money. So the banks, in their mind, lost $16 billion because of Richard Lugar. So they said, okay, that's it. We're going to take this guy out. And so the banksters were the major funders, or among the major funders, of Richard Murdoch. He calls himself a Tea Party. And at the same time, Tea Party Nation, I believe it is. Several of the Tea Party groups are now showing up with, like, Tea Party Nation just filed their tax returns. $12 million. Where's all this money coming from? Well, $12 million ain't nothing if you're a bankster. If you're making $1 billion a year, I mean, as an individual, $1 billion a year, your company's making $30, $40, $50 billion a year in profits. It's easy enough to shovel a few million dollars, or in the case of, you know, a Indiana Senate race, $500,000 to a candidate, and then let that candidate be referred to in the press as the Tea Party candidate. He's really the bankster candidate. That's what happened. Richard Lugar was representing the interests of the big box stores, Amazon, Walmart, Macy's, you know, fill in the blanks. And Murdoch is representing the interests of the banks. And this is a battle between the banks and the retailers. This had nothing to do with the people. The Tea Partiers, those people who think that they're in a Tea Party and that it's like, you know, gee, this is great. This is cool. This is us against the big guys. Sorry. So, anyhow, back to the issue of the President of the United States coming out today on national television. It'll be on national television tonight on ABC's this week or this evening or whatever the show is, and with Robin Wright, and saying that he has come to the conclusion. Well, we'll let him say it in his own words. You ready to go, Jim, with this? Okay, here it is.
But I have to tell you that over the course of several years, as I talk to friends and family and neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex relationships, who are raising kids together. When I think about those soldiers or airmen or Marines or sailors who are out there fighting on my behalf and yet feel constrained, even now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is gone, because they're not able to commit themselves in a marriage. At a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
So the president takes a stand on behalf of marriage equality. So we'll see where this goes. But I am very pleased to hear this and see this. Paul in Mukilteo, Washington. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I'm just curious, and I haven't heard anybody actually address this, and I'm not even sure if my point is valid yet, but if there is one federally recognized tax-exempt religious organization in this country that performs and recognizes gay marriage?
Yeah, Unitarian Universalist Church, to begin with.
So how is it that an anti-gay marriage amendment is constitutional? Aren't they infringing upon the gay marriage rights of the Unitarian Church?
Sure. Well, yes and no. I mean, if the inspiration for refusing equal rights to gays is explicitly said to be religious, then it fails the constitutional test. You're right about the separation of church and state. That's in the First Amendment. That's also in the Establishment Clause. And that Congress shall establish no religion in the United States. However, typically what has happened is that the bigots and the right-wing freaks and whatnot, they have tried to characterize this as natural versus unnatural, or our culture likes it or doesn't like it, you know, whatever. They'll do anything they can to not make it religious. And thus base the laws.
The Unitarian Church has specifically made it religious, and it made it a something that they do in their church.
Yeah.
You now have a group of people, whatever their motivation is, they're making something illegal and imposing restrictions on this religion.
Yeah. Well, yes and no. I get your point, and I don't disagree with it. But for example, you know, a lot of churches do communion and they pass out wine. Little kids aren't supposed to be able to drink wine. So some churches do grape juice. Other churches just say, okay, you know, it's so little it doesn't matter, but it's against the law. Or are you going to pass a law against that? You know, it's, you know, where do these things get blurred? But I get your point. I get the logic of your point. I think it's well said. Dwayne in Medford, Oregon. Hey, Dwayne, what's up?
How you doing, Tom? I'm just calling to go back to your previous caller, the black guy that said that black people get mad about gays. We won't vote for Obama. I'm a black man, and I got gay neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them. They're my friends. I treat them just like me. They treat me just like an ordinary person, and we just treat each other, you know, equally. When I barbecued, I drop food at their house. When they cook something special I like, they give it to me. I'm a truck driver, and I just want to say that's a lie.
Yeah. Well, this is what I think is happening, and I think that, Dwayne, your father's generation and my father's generation and the generation before that, they didn't have, you know, they had gay neighbors and they had gay family members, but they didn't know it. And so they didn't have the experience of saying, yeah, I got neighbors and they're gay and they're great people. And so that's why I think that this change is happening really fast. And I think it's happening across every community, the Hispanic community, the African-American community, the white community, even the good old boy Southern white racist community, or whatever you want to call it, let's say bigot community or paranoid community, the whole group of them. You know, I think it's going to change. So
I got one more thing.
Yeah.
I played football and the kicker was gay.
Okay.
And let me tell you one more question.
Yeah.
The kicker, and I want to say this for all men. All men got a little gay in them. They just all know it. Be happy.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dwayne. Pam in Falls Church, Virginia. Hey, Pam, we have a minute to the break. What's up?
Oh, hi, Tom. Thanks for all you do. You're irreplaceable. I just wanted to say that I'm also very supportive and happy about the president's statement today in terms of civil union. As someone who has had many friends dating from high school and a younger brother who is gay, it's a tremendous time, and I do hope that Obama prevails with the support of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And just to mention, I've been a D.C. resident for 35 years and grew up as a native West Virginian and half Virginian. And with a very labor time back then, a state and liberal labor state, very democratic. And also an earlier caller touched on the issue of interracial marriages, which I have myself between a black and a white Virginian and West Virginian. So times are very different, but this is certainly progress, and we're happy to see it. So,
yeah, I think it is, too. Thank you very much, Pam, for the call. I think this is not just progress. I think this is a turning point. I believe that this is a turning point in the United States, in the history of the United States. And, I mean, you know, history will look back on this moment, in my opinion, and say, yeah, okay, that was the moment when everything changed.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And that is definitely, to paraphrase Joe Biden, a BFD, and one that needs to be taken very, very seriously. And far, it's far more important than whatever the political consequences. Welcome back. Virginia in Warren, New Jersey. Hey, Virginia, what's on your mind today?
Hello.
Hello.
I want to make a comment about a caller you had on earlier from California who say he was an African-American. I think he would say he was gay, and he worked with Proposition 8.
Yeah.
And he made a comment about the African-Americans are not going to vote for President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
That is incorrect, so don't get upset.
Yeah.
Somebody making a comment like that.
Well, I was pushing back on him because I don't think that that's correct either. I think that his President Obama's statement today is going to have more impact on the attitudes and opinions of the African-American community than they are going to have on his election, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, we have too many other things to deal with.
Yeah, there you go.
That is not one of them.
That's absolutely true. Thank you. So well said, Virginia. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Great to hear from you. And, oh, here's Paul in Detroit. You disagree with me, Paul, it says here.
Well, not really. But before my comment on marriage, I just wanted to point out the obvious reason that Michelle Bachmann loves Switzerland so much.
Oh, yeah. She became, for our listeners who don't know, Michelle Bachmann, it came out yesterday. Her husband, Marcus, has become a Swiss citizen, and thereby her and her children are now Swiss citizens. And so they're all eligible for that universal health care they've got over there and that, you know, socialist government. Yeah.
Yeah. But the obvious reason is Swiss bank accounts.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mitt Romney has one, and he can't get citizenship.
All the millions of dollars that she conned out of the American public and the bribes she took from billionaires, she's putting that in a Swiss bank account.
Yeah, that's where she's putting her PAC money.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Anyway, my comment on marriage is I think it's just a – it's just it's just quibbling over words. It's because Obama was already for rights for gay people anyway.
In a way,
and wedge issue.
Well, in a way, I mean the point that I was making yesterday is that as a president, he's already used up all the power he has, which is the power over the military, to change policy with regard to gays. He can't change the Defense of Marriage Act. That has to be done by Congress.
Right.
He, you know, but he does have the bully pulpit. And I think that we underestimate that at our own peril. That's a big deal. So I think this is a big deal. Paul, I respectfully will disagree with you on this. Thanks a lot for the call, though. Kevin, Kevin, I don't have a city for you. Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yeah, where are you calling from, Kevin?
Hey, Palm Springs.
Oh, okay. What's up?
Hey, the bigotry issue.
Yeah.
Now, I guess you would say an old school punk rocker, you know. So, back in '82, I started dating black women. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm as white as you can be. Okay, I've got a bald head, not by my choice, by hat.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I'm bald now, but I look as white as you can be. But I suffered through this whole racist thing from both whites and blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. Tell my mom happy birthday.
Okay.
Say happy birthday, Nana.
Okay, happy birthday, Nana.
All right, she's going to love that.
Okay. So, Kevin, your point. Or have you made
it's just it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous about the way everything's going.
So it's just your point is that it's just bigotry. Okay, I got it. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much for that call. Harry in Providence, Rhode Island. Hey, Harry, what's up?
Yeah, Tom. I want to help viewers who are interested in helping their crazy brother-in-law who thinks the Bible condemns all gays.
Sure.
I'm a minister and. I've studied this thoroughly, and there's some excellent books out there on this topic. And I'm writing on your blog now, so anyone interested in looking it up can find it.
Mm-hmm.
But the best book on the topic, as far as I'm concerned, would be Daniel Helminiak, Helminiak, What the Bible Really Says About Homosexuality.
Hmm.
And if you look at, a lot of people look at Amazon. I don't like their corporate policies. I look at Alibris.
Mm-hmm.
And Alibris Books has it online for 99 cents. They've got
not bad. Let me just throw a couple of quotes at you and see if this is the WouldJesusDiscriminate.org website, and they have these billboards. One says Jesus affirmed a gay couple. This is in Matthew 8:5-13. Another is Ruth loved Naomi as Adam loved Eve. That is in Genesis. Genesis 2:14 and Ruth 1:14. Here's another one. Jesus said some are born gay. That was Matthew 19:10-12. The early church welcomed a gay man. That's in Acts 8:26-40. And David loved Jonathan more than women. That's in 2 Samuel 1:26. So these are positive biblical references to homosexuality.
I think the most famous of those you mentioned is David and Jonathan.
Mm.
And you can read those accounts. Some of those accounts and perhaps find that they are positive for gays. The problem with the right-wing crazies, the religious right-wingers on this, is that they go to a selected 3 or 4 texts in Genesis, Leviticus, and Romans, and they say, oh, they read it literally, they read it out of context, and they say, oh, the Bible condemns homosexuals.
Right,
well,
especially,
not true.
Especially Leviticus. And that is where, for example, the Bible also condemns wearing clothing made out of two kinds of fabrics, which is why,
exactly,
you know, Hasids wear clothing that's made, you know, it's 100% cotton, or, you know, condemns eating shellfish, and you know, which may be a good idea, especially
these
after
are all the purity laws.
Yes.
And if you're going to say we need to do pick out one, then you should be saying, oh, we got to do all of these.
Right, which means that
all on the same level.
Right, which means if your kid talks back to you, you should stone him to death. Right?
Exactly.
And holding slaves is just fine. And if your wife talks back, throw her out of the house and divorce her. And I mean, all this stuff is in the Bible. It's like, do you really want all this?
Sodom, I'll get it in real quickly, is it was gang rape.
Sodom. Oh, yeah,
it
absolutely.
It wasn't about homosexuals.
Absolutely. And then Lot went off and had children by his kids. I mean, it's amazing. Harry, thank you for the call. And nice to hear from a pastor. We'll be back here on the Tom Hartman Program. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you in the third hour of our program. The President of the United States has made a historic announcement that this is an historic president. I mean, here we have the first African-American president of a nation that was founded in slavery of African-Americans. And now that man has said that he believes that everybody, regardless not just of their race or their nationality or their religion, but also of their sexual orientation, everybody should have the right to get married. And I'm telling you, someday we're going to look back on this and go, duh. It's like today you tell people, you know, I speak well of Dwight Eisenhower from time to time. You know, he kept a 91% top tax rate. He was in favor of Social Security. He was in favor of the right to unionize. In fact, unionization peaked during his administration. He did a lot of good things. He ended the Korean War. He ran on a platform in 1952 of vote for Eisenhower, vote for peace. And yet, throughout his presidency, discrimination, I mean, not just discrimination, segregation in the United States was not just legal, but actively and aggressively practiced, including in his administration. The times change. And the times are changing now. Just like we look back on the era of Eisenhower, the 50s, and say, how could we have done that? How could we have had laws on the books in states all over this country? The last one was taken down in 1965 that said that if a black person and a white person want to get married, it's a crime in this state, the miscegenation laws. How could we have done that? And I'm telling you, there's a point where we're going to look back at this and we're going to say, okay, things have changed now. Gays are married. So what? You know, life has gone, life goes on. I mean, it's not even life goes on. It's like now the human family is complete. Now our brother-in-law and sister-in-law or aunt or cousin or uncle or you know, in one case I know of, a good friend, his father came out when he was, you know, when he became, I think he was like 18 or 19 or 20 years old, when his dad came out and said, you know, hey, I'm gay. And mom's my best friend, but, you know, I really like Steve or whatever. And but it you know, it had been from that era where you, it just wasn't allowed. So, you know, I think we're going to look back and go, how could we have done that to all those people all those years? How could we have, it's like when you look at the pictures of the slaves, you know, with the whip marks across their backs, and compare that to the right now, the statistic that the highest suicide rate in the United States is among gay teenagers. And someday we're going to look back at that and say, how could we have allowed that to happen? D in Naperville, Illinois. Hey, D, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I'm a Democrat, and in fact, I'm a Democratic election judge, and I did vote for Obama in last election. But I mean, this move today doesn't it causes me some concern, and it makes me have some second thoughts about voting for him. But I don't like to vote for Romney either, because the Mormons, just a couple, two, three generations back, including Romney's own family, believed in multiple wives. So apparently you and I would agree about one thing. Marriage, as we've known it, is changing. And this is a day we'll look back on. But I don't know if we'll look back on it.
Why would you not vote for Obama? Because he came out in favor of marriage equality?
Because I do feel that marriage, the definition of marriage, is for a man and a woman to join together. Other people can go join if they want, but that doesn't make it a marriage.
Well, by the definitions of many churches, you're right. And if you want to use a religious definition, I don't disagree with you at all. I think those churches will change over time. The you know, several major denominations, the Lutherans, the Methodists, are changing right now. But that said, what scares you about gay people?
I didn't say that I was scared of gay people, and I'm not saying that I would totally be against civil unions, which they've already approved in Illinois. But marriage, by definition, is the idea of bringing a man and a woman together.
Well, yes, but up until 1965, it was bringing a black man and a black woman or a white man and a white woman together, but it was illegal to bring a black man or a woman and a white man or a woman together, you know, opposite races. And, you know, our definitions of marriage have changed repeatedly over the years.
Well, you know, you have to go to the, in my mind, there's two functions to marriage. Biologically, it's for procreation. Emotionally, it's to bring together the yin and the yang, the masculine and the feminine. Now, if you're talking about it from economic point of view,
well, let's just address
unions,
both of them.
But you can't have marriage because
let's address both of those for a second, D.
The male and the female together.
Okay, that's you know, good enough. Are you suggesting that people who are sterile should not be allowed to get married?
Well,
or people who are past the age of child, you know, when women hit menopause, should they lose their ability to get married? And if you want it to be yin and yang, I would submit to you that a lot of gay couples that I know really are yin and yang. I mean, it's Ellen talks about her wife. I mean, there are people play the more I don't know. I'm reluctant to even use male.
Well, then you have to assume that gender, roles that the woman will do the laundry or something like that.
I think those,
and therefore Ellen would have a wife. That
right.
doesn't seem appropriate to me to call it her wife.
Well,
she might call it her spouse.
Shouldn't she have the right to do that?
Well,
if they both
agree? No. Not exactly, because you're reinventing not only for this partner that she has what the role or what a wife is, but all the other people who are wives, you redefine them.
Well, let's talk about the definition of a wife then. This is from page 51 of my book on equal protection, if you want a reference on this, and it's all well footnoted. From the founding of this country in 1789 when the Constitution was passed, until the 1920s in the United States, this was the law, okay? Just very straightforward. A married woman was not allowed to make out a will because she was not allowed to own land or legally control anything else worthy of willing to another person. One. Two, any property a woman brought into a marriage became her husband's at the moment of marriage and would revert to her only if he died and she did not remarry. But even then, she would get only one-third of her husband's property, and what third it was and how she could use it was determined by a male court-appointed executor who could supervise for the rest of her life, supervise her, or until she remarried, how she used the third of her husband's estate that she so-called inherited. Three, when a widow died, the executor could take the property for himself or decide to whom to pass the woman to. The woman had no say in the matter because she had no right to sign a will. Women could not sue in a court of law under the same. They could only sue in a court of law under the same weak procedures allowed for the mentally ill and for children, and their lawsuit had to be supervised by men. It was impossible in the United States of America for a married woman to have legal responsibility for her own children, control her own property, own slaves, buy or sell land, or even obtain an ordinary license. If a man of a family household died, the executor would decide who would raise the wife's children and in what religion. She had no right to make those decisions. That's how we defined wife from 1789 to 1925. Do you really want to go with the traditional definition?
It's just not right. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. I think things change. I think times change. Dee, thank you for your call and for the respectful disagreement. I appreciate it. We'll be right back. 15 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Would you have wanted to be a wife, anybody's wife, in the 1880s with those restrictions?
Some say the union's down, but I asked around, and everybody said, this is a union town, a union town. All down the line, this is a union town.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, and Steve Jones on the line with us. He is the directing business rep for District 8 of the IAM and AW. IAM District 8, that's the digit8.org, is the website. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you, Tom?
I'm great. Tell us about your union.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for taking the time to discuss our issues. We are the International Association of Machinists. We represent manufacturing employees, automotive mechanics, you name it, we represent it.
I'm very familiar with it. My dad worked in a machine shop, tool and die shop, for 40 years.
Great. That's fantastic.
A union shop at that. So the machinists are on strike with Caterpillar in Joliet.
That's absolutely correct. Unfortunately, we have a pretty serious situation on our hands here in Joliet.
Tell us about it.
Well, basically, what it comes down to is we're dealing with an employer that for the last couple of years has made record profits. If you were to look back last year, their net income actually increased over 83%. Last year, they made $4.9 billion.
Wow.
That's in profit, not sales. And also, I guess an unfortunate timing. 2 days before they gave us their offer here in Joliet, they had released that they made $1.58 billion in the first quarter this year. So
wow.
Essentially we have this company that is making record profits. We've worked with them in the past when the company wasn't doing well. We actually gave them concessions to help build this company. Now in a time when they're basically getting very wealthy, they don't want to share back with us, and they're actually trying to steal more off the backs of labor.
That's incredible. So you guys are saying enough is enough, and what are your demands is always kind of a cliched word, but I lack another. You know, what is the issue in dispute here with Caterpillar?
Not necessarily demands. We just want a fair shake, and
sure.
There are several. But just to make it very simple, they want to freeze wages for the next 6 years. We had a 6-year contract with them where wages weren't increased except for a cost of living adjustment. So that would be 12 years without increases in wages.
Wow. They
want to it's incredible. And meanwhile, while they're doing that, they want to increase the premiums to our medical to the tune of at least 2.5 times over the 6-year contract. And that doesn't include the percentage increase of the premium year over year.
Right.
While they're freezing our wages with one hand, they're taking away with the other.
Yeah. So your workers, if they go along with what Caterpillar wants, are going to end up with increasingly smaller paychecks. And then when you factor in inflation, massively increasingly smaller paychecks, I mean, over more than a decade. We're talking with Steve L. Jones, the directing business rep with the District 8 IAM and AW. And Steve, what are you all doing, and how can our viewers and listeners help?
Yeah, well, basically, we have a rally coming up on Friday. We appreciate all the support that we can get. It'll actually be out in front of the Caterpillar plant here in Joliet.
Mm-hmm.
We ask if people want to come out to wear red. The only thing that we ask is, especially if you're a Caterpillar stockholder, you know, make your voice heard. Make sure that it's understood that in a time of record profits, when these workers have given back, when the company was hurting, give these folks a fair shake.
Great.
Make sure that they make good wages. At least they can keep up their standard of living.
Great. People can learn all about it at IAM District Digit 8. IAM as in International Association of Machinists. IAMDistrict8.org is the website. Steve, thanks a lot for dropping by.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Good luck. I wish you the very best. And great talking with you. Michael in San Diego, is it?
Yes, it is. How you doing, Mr. Hartman?
I'm fine. You're on the air.
Thank you. Okay. I just heard your little sentence there about how American men treated women up until, I think you said, 1912, whatever it was.
Around the 1920s. It's how American law treated women.
Okay, correct. Okay, well, I got an interesting concept for you.
Mm-hmm.
If women were in control of this planet from day one, men were not in control, do you believe we'd have aircraft carriers? That women share childbirth, men share nothing. Men want to take your wife. They want to take your property. They want to take everything. So, again, I'm just wondering what you would think if the world would be like if women were in control of this planet from day one.
What you find in most cultures that have been around, that have been in one place long enough to learn from their stupid mistakes, like, for example, the Iroquois Confederacy, the Iroquois people had been on this North American continent for either 10 or 20,000 years, depending on, you know, whose anthropology you're looking at.
Correct.
In the Iroquois Confederacy, it was made up of five nations and ultimately six nations. In four out of the five or five out of the six, in all but one of the Iroquois nations, men could not vote. The men were the sachems. They would go from tribe to tribe and say, here's what our community has decided relative to your community. But men could not vote. And that, I believe, is why, I mean, you can easily Google, you know, Ben Franklin's 1751 letter to, I think it was James Wilson, a name very much like that. But anyhow, look for, you know, Ben Franklin's 1751 letter on the Iroquois Confederacy. And he said, essentially, it would be an amazing thing if five nations of ignorant savages have been able to forge a bond that has lasted in peace for 1,000 years, and 10 or 12 colonies of educated Englishmen can't do the same. Now, just keep in mind, this was 30 years before the American Revolution, or 20 years, almost 30 years. And so it was common knowledge among the European settlers to the North American continent that most Native American communities, and this is true of most Aboriginal communities all around the world, are basically matriarchal, matrilineal. And I would argue even our own civilization started out that way, which is why in Judaism, you're a Jew if your mother is a Jew, not if your father was a Jew. And because people who have been around long enough to have figured it out, the Aboriginal and Indigenous people got it, that when the men run things, what you end up with is war. And when women run things, what you end up with is a stable society that works. And
correct.
So I'm of the opinion that testosterone is the most dangerous drug on earth. And that, and you know, here we are, two guys saying this, but you know, we know ourselves, right? And we know our breed or whatever. I don't know how to say it. Our gender, yeah, is the word, the proper word. And I agree with you. Had women been in charge all this time, we probably wouldn't have aircraft carriers. Instead, you know, the Iroquois invented lacrosse. They played games for 3-4 days to see who was going to win a dispute. Thanks a lot for the call, Michael.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
Up next, more conversation and the good, the bad, and the new vocabulary word, ugly. It's the good, the bad, and the very, very subdurosauriously ugly, brought to you by EdisonFactor.com, a supplement for the brain. The good. Former Senator John Danforth. Back in 2010, Danforth, a Republican, told the New York Times that if Senator Dick Lugar was seriously challenged by anyone in the Republican Party, and the party had gone, quote, so far overboard we are beyond redemption, end quote. Well, the day after Senator Lugar's primary defeat, Danforth again attacked the Republican Party. He told Think Progress that the Republican Party is trying to create, quote, something that's ideologically pure and intolerant of anybody who does not agree with them, end quote. What Republicans are really trying to do is create a one-party rule system here in the United States. Good on Mr. Danforth to point out how destructive that would be. The bad. Representative Alan West. In his latest government conspiracy theory, West said this weekend that the federal food stamp program is actually a way for the American government to enslave American citizens. Yes, he used that word. Speaking about the program, West told a crowd, "That's not how you empower the American people. That's how you enslave the American people. That's how you drive toward economic dependence instead of economic freedom," end of quote. The real way to enslave the American people is to take away their rights and their access to social services programs. And that's exactly what Representative West and his Republican colleagues are trying to do. And the very, very ugly, the Tea Party. In a recent monthly newsletter, a Virginia Tea Party group said that an armed revolution, their phrase, will be necessary in America if President Obama is reelected in November. The newsletter read, "We shall not have any course but armed revolution should we fail with the power of the vote in November." And last week, a Tea Party activist at a Tea Party Express rally screamed, "We have to kill the Clara Bear, Katie, ladies and gentlemen," in reference to Missouri Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill. As Missouri Democratic Party spokesman Caitlin Legacki put it, this is the kind of inflammatory language that could lead to violence or something worse. And I would add, it is very, very ugly. This is interesting. A press release, the Associated Press out of Quito, Ecuador, country in South America. Ecuador's legislature has passed a law that would oblige banks to forgive any outstanding debt on mortgages to first-time homebuyers of properties worth up to $146,000 if they default and forfeit the home. President Rafael Correa praised the law after it was passed 88-2 on Tuesday evening. The bill's sponsor said that if Spain had passed a similar law a decade ago, it could have avoided the housing bubble that has caused so many to lose their homes. Interesting. Very interesting. 866-987-THOM, our telephone number, Michael in Union, South Carolina. Hey, Michael, what's up?
How you doing, Tom? I want to start by saying I love your show, and I watch it every chance I get.
Thank you.
I'm going to send you a butt.
But? Yeah, okay.
I don't too much agree with all this gay marriage talk and all the gays being introduced on regular sitcoms that you used to be able to sit and watch with your whole family and things like that. And I say that because I'm raising a son. And every time my son turns around, I don't need him seeing some sort of gay reference on a regular show that he and I used to be able to sit and watch together. Or if gay marriage is introduced like that, it's going to be some people in positions that kids look up to, and if they see this as being okay, then, I mean, what outcome would that have on our young people?
Michael, are you afraid that if your son is exposed to gay people as a normal course of things, that he himself may become gay or may experiment with that? Is that your concern?
Well, not so much as experiment, but maybe.
I'm guessing, Michael. Boy, it looks like we just dropped a couple of lines. I wonder if we just had a hiccup. Michael, you can call us back if you want to try and continue that conversation. It might have been on our end. In fact, every single one of our lines just dropped. Wow, that's not good. I think the phone company's freaking out on us. So if you called in and you just got dropped, give us a call back, and we'll see if we can get you on. We may have to reboot our phone system. And while we're doing that, clip three, Jacob. Let's share this.
You have 5 kids, right?
Yes, I do.
What would you do if one of them came home and said, "Dad, I'm gay"?
Well, we would have a conversation about it. I doubt that would happen with my children, as we are teaching them the right ways that they are to interact as human beings.
Now, that was Tony Perkins. And Tony Perkins, he was on CNN with Piers Morgan. And I think, and I don't want to put words in Michael's mouth, but I've heard this from people before, that, you know, particularly parents of young kids. And, you know, they're concerned that if they, you know, if as a normal course of things, people see gay people on TV, that their son may become gay when he grows up, or their daughter may become lesbian. And I just, if Michael were still on the phone, and now that we've rebooted our phone system and it seems to be working and people are able to call in, but it's going to take a minute for Louise or Paul or whoever's back there to go through and put figure out where everybody is. But the question that I would ask Michael is, how old were you when you noticed that girls were not only different but interesting? And I'm guessing, I mean, I can't predict what Michael's answer is, but most men, when you ask them that question, or for that matter, most women, when you ask them that question, you know, how old were you when you noticed that boys were different and interesting? It wasn't even at the onset of puberty. It was typically around 7 or 8 or 9 years old, somewhere in there, pre-puberty, before a person was even capable of sexual activity. But there's still that, oh, hey, look at that. That's interesting. And when you ask that same question to gay people, over and over and over again, what you get from them is, oh, yeah, I was around 7, 8, 9 years old when I noticed that, you know, a man would say, when I noticed that men were attractive to me and women were, who cares? Whereas, you know, the experience of us breeders is that, you know, we noticed that women, speaking for men, we noticed that women were more attractive than, or interesting, and men were like, who cares? We're born this way. These aren't choices that people make because they saw a TV show. So, Michael, I really honor your love for your son and the hard work it is to raise a child. I really want to honor that. And I also want to ask you to just ask yourself that question. You know, how old were you when you noticed your own sexuality? And if you ever have an opportunity to have any kind of a dialogue, friendly dialogue, with a gay person in your life, ask them that same question. And I think you'll be surprised to discover that this is just how people are. And it doesn't come about because they watched a TV show. Where the TV show influences behavior is that those gay teenagers, those gay children who know that they're gay and who live in households that hate gays, when they see appropriate gay models, role models on TV, they're less likely to commit suicide. They're more likely to say, well, even if my family doesn't accept me, obviously there's people out there in the world who do accept gay people. I see that on TV. So maybe there's hope for me. Maybe I should just make it through high school and get out there into the world, and I'll discover other people like me. Because right now, the group that has the highest suicide rate in the United States is gay teenagers. And we need to do something about that. And the doing something about that part is acceptance. And like I said, it's not, this is not just a choice thing. Eric in Seattle. Hey, Eric, thanks for listening to Talk 1090. What's up?
My pleasure.
I have a question for you about President Obama's announcement. It seems to me that it's great that he announced it. I support that entirely, and I feel like it's a bit of a cop-out that he drew the line at delineating it as being his personal belief and that it should be a state's issue, that there shouldn't be a federal law. I don't quite understand drawing that line where I just think he should just go all the way right now and just say, and you know what? It's a right. It's a civil right. It's an issue that should be uniform across this country. Right. Can you explain to me why you think he drew that line?
Marriage, I'm guessing that he drew that line because marriage is, there are state laws. There may be a federal law about marriage. I mean, I think that the Defense of Marriage Act was the first time that the federal legislature got into the marriage business. Marriages are recognized by states. Pastors are recognized by states. If you're ordained in a church, you know, many long ago and far away, I was ordained in a church, and I've performed a few weddings in my day. And I had to, you know, I've been recognized now by three different states where, you know, I, for various reasons, I needed to get that recognition. Well, actually, to do weddings, including one gay wedding. But there are state laws, you know, and so I'm guessing that's why. To the best of my knowledge, there's not a federal recognition of marriage other than at the Internal Revenue Service. And if you did away with the DOMA law, the Defense of Marriage law, then the IRS could recognize gay couples just, you know, I don't think you'd even need a law to do it. So I'm guessing that's why he did it. It might have been that he was trying to say to the hard right, you know, be reassured I'm not going to be dictator of the day and make your state go away you don't want to. But it is ultimately a states' rights issue, I believe, and that's the level at which it needs to be handled. Thanks, Eric.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And I think that with the leadership of the president, what we're going to start seeing now is state after state after state taking this issue up and saying, okay, we're going to have marriage equality here, too.
From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Bill in Arizona. Hey, Bill, thanks for listening to SiriusXM. What's on your mind?
Well, Tom, I want to bounce an idea off of you. I say we completely stop all state-issued marriage licenses.
Okay.
And we only issue the certificates of union. That way, everybody's equal. And then if a couple wants to go to their selected church, whatever it is, and have a marriage ceremony and get a certificate from there, that's on them.
But see,
but it has nothing to do with the state.
The problem is you'd have to change literally tens of thousands of laws at the state level, the local level, the county level, the city level, you know, that have and IRS and things that have to do with marriage, that refer to the word marriage. And that's why civil unions don't work. I mean, you know, it's a nice idea and all that. And in addition, we already have that separation. For example, if you're Catholic and you marry outside the church, church doesn't recognize you as married. If you're Jewish and you marry somebody who's not Jewish and on it goes. I mean, there's all these different, every religious group has their shtick about, okay, this is the way that you have to do it to be recognized by us. And
that's only for religious purposes.
That's my point.
It has nothing to do with the states or for retirements or for hospital visits. If every state only issues a certificate of civil union, then you don't have that problem.
Yeah.
And as far as, you know, I'm not a religious person, so I don't care about the religious side. They can worry about that on their own problem.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you know, it's something to consider. It's actually something that a few years ago I was thinking might be a good idea, too. But then I started looking into, you know, how many laws have to change. It's huge. Catherine in Wyoming. Hey, Catherine, what's up?
Hi, I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you.
I think our country is just way too concerned with this gay-lesbian issue, and it goes way down. It starts when children are very little. When our son was in second grade, he was trying to help out another kid who admired his shorts and wanted to share a pair of shorts with that child, and our son was put in confinement for the rest of the school year and accused of being gay.
By the teachers?
By the teachers.
Holy cow.
Yeah, he went.
How old was he?
He had soccer shorts on under a pair of big baggy denim shorts with the big pockets on the side.
Uh-huh.
And so he told the other child, he said, look, he said, I can't give you my soccer shorts because I have a soccer game today. But come into the bathroom with me, and I'll take off my big baggy shorts, and I'll give them to you.
Right.
And you can have those, and I'll wear my soccer shorts.
Right.
And the teacher that was monitoring them saw this and accused our son of being gay.
How old was the kid?
He was in second grade. He was seven.
7 years old. That's amazing. Now, what if he was gay? I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, the point is,
although,
who knows when you're seven?
Yeah, exactly. And they're not, yeah, seven-year-olds are not going to the bathroom.
And put him in confinement in the principal's office for the rest of the school year.
How long ago did this happen?
Oh, he's graduated from high school very recently.
So this is more than a decade ago.
Yeah.
Because I would have a hard time believing that that would happen today. I think that there's a more enlightened perspective. But you're right. This is, you know, growing up gay has to be a tough thing, and or even just growing up and being accused of it. Catherine, thank you for sharing that story with us. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Brandon in Alabama. Hey, Brandon, thanks for listening to XM. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
All right. One thing I want to pass along, something I've thought about, is I kind of look at this as like segregation with the blacks and whites back in the day, to where a lot of the white folks back in the day had a hard time accepting the fact that, okay, you're going to have black folks eating at the counter and going to school with our kids. And as time went on, it became more accepted.
Yep.
And if you take some of the older folks that's old now that were young then, and you have a select few that still kind of live in that time, I think that's how we're looking at this thing. I mean, time has changed to where I don't have a problem with it. I prefer for a gay or lesbian person not to put it or bring it to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you do what you do. It is nothing nice to be set to the side.
How is a gay couple walking down the street holding hands any different than a black couple and being openly gay, any different than a black couple walking down the street holding hands and being openly black?
Well, the thing about it is, just like I said, that's more accepted now versus, you know,
right. Both of them are more accepted now.
If you think about it, maybe 10 years ago, the term coming out the closet came out.
Oh, it was long before that, but yeah.
People were a little bit ashamed of really coming out. Now it's more, hey, bam, here it is. That's what it is, accepted for you.
Right.
That's how I feel. Bro.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
We're here. We're queer. Get over it. And we're fabulous, by the way. Somebody sent me an email with that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's see here. John in Highbridge, New Jersey. John, we just have a little less than a minute left in the show today. It's all yours.
Very good, Tom. I'll be very brief. You know, actually, it's been repeated already, but if people will just substitute the word mixed race for same sex, and then decide how they feel about the issue, it might change it for the independents that are sitting on the fence.
That's right.
We have our governor of New Jersey here, Mr. Christie. We had the state legislature had passed the same-sex marriage bill, which he immediately vetoed.
Right.
Now, in terms of political gravitas, you know, Mr. Obama didn't necessarily do anything, President Obama, that I think gave him great political momentum, but he did the morally correct thing.
Oh, I think this is going to give him great political momentum because
he's
standing up for what he believes in.
Right.
And the American people are so hungry for that.
Sure. But it should be equally damaging to others like Christie or Romney.
I think it's going to be.
Who refused to take the right stand.
I think it's going to be. I think that when Romney has to defend the bigots and homophobes who he's hanging out with, he's going to have a really, really hard time. John, thanks a lot for the call. Great to hear from you. And don't forget, democracy begins with you. When you show up, when you participate, when you get out there and get active tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
Been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, go to TomHartman.com.